So we do thank you, Lord, for your mercy in giving us a Saviour. We ask you to help us this night to really celebrate the gift of Jesus, our Saviour, our Lord, born for us in the stable in Bethlehem, now gloriously risen and with us here in this Eucharist. We praise and bless your name. Well, you heard the angels singing, did you not? You're hearing their singing? The angels are singing. And what are they singing? Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace to all those who enjoy his favour. The angels are singing, folks. And the angels are singing of the peace that will come to earth through the Saviour, the peace that has come through this child born in Bethlehem. To all who enjoy his favour, that is all those who are willing to receive the grace of the peace of Christ. This feast of Christmas is very much a feast where we celebrate peace. And oh my goodness, do we not need it in this world today, which is so troubled? We're just recovering from the Martin Place incident. But we know further abroad how the world seems to be full of violence at this time, where the hearts of men and women are just overflowing with violence. Now, we see it, of course, with the attempt to establish an Islamic state. We go to Africa and find the Boko Haram terrifying people's lives and enslaving people. Go to Afghanistan and Pakistan, the Taliban are at work. In the Holy Land itself, Palestinians and Israelis at enmity with one another. And yet we proclaim tonight peace. We proclaim that God has brought peace to the world. But we, unfortunately, as sad and broken humanity, have not yet taken hold of it in the depths that we need to. He did not come, of course, with an army to somehow or other force us into peace, a cessation of hostilities. No, he came as a vulnerable little baby to win us by his love, that our hearts might change, because unless there's a heart change, there will be no peace. He didn't come in pomp and splendour in a palace, but just in a stable and in a trough, a feeding trough for animals. He came to win us through his humility and his deep love for each one of us. That's why he came. God made flesh, born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. This is who we adore tonight in this Eucharist. Of course, the problems that we see in the world and in our own personal lives too, they date back a long way. They go back to the very beginning of humanity. Because you only have to pick up the first book of the Bible that tells you about what happened at the beginning. And whatever way we see what scientifically happened with the origin of humanity, we know definitely from the beginning there was a problem. It's told in a quaint story, of course, in Genesis, but a story that carries a profound truth, that Adam and Eve rebelled against God. Disobeyed God, and as a result of their disobedience of God, as a result of thinking they could do without God, as a result of thinking that maybe they could sort of even overtake God's prerogatives in their life, then as a result of that, everything went wrong. And we live in that sort of world which has become disfigured, unfortunately, because of sin. We live in that world that's carrying those scars. And we're told in Genesis, of course, that as a result of that rebellion against God, everything went wrong in their relationship. And when God caught up with Adam and said, "Why have you done it?" He said, "Well, there's that woman you put with me." Immediately blame, accusation enters into relationship. Right? Things go wrong and break down in relationship. Have you noticed? I'm sure you have. Not just at the big level between nations, but amongst ourselves and our families and our close friends, we can have these breakdowns happen in one way or another. Sin has entered into the world, and it's manifest very much in broken relationships. And also in our relationship with the whole of creation too. Adam and Eve were told after they'd sinned that, you know, they'd be working by the sweat of their brow, and they'd get brambles and thistles from the earth. It wouldn't yield like it should yield for them. They'd have to work really hard to make that happen. So again, there's a consequence that comes as a result of rebelling against God. And where is the true peace going to come from? Well, the true peace is a gift from God, which we can receive from Jesus, the Son of God made man. But we have to open our hearts to receive it. But we need to, as we look at the crib tonight, and we look at the child in Bethlehem, we need to remember that this child was destined to grow up as a young man at the age of 33 to be slammed against a cross for our sake. Because just to be born into humanity, as much and wonderful as that was not enough to bring the peace that we needed to have. Why? Because ever since Cain killed Abel, as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve, there's been murder and violence right down through the whole history of humanity. We have a history of violence. And my goodness, here in the 21st century, we still got it in big quantities all around the world. You look at it in your TV screens every night, and it can make you quite depressed if you don't have hope in our Saviour. But we do have hope in our Saviour because this child, who we celebrate tonight, as a 33-year-old man, was slammed against that cross, and he had violence brought against him, he had rejection brought against him, he had hatred brought against him, and how did he meet it? He met it with love. He met it with love, not with revenge. He met it with forgiveness, not with seeking payback. And that brought our redemption. That made it possible for humanity to be different. And that's what we celebrate tonight. The peace that comes from the blood of Jesus who hang on the cross for our sake, who broke the cycle of violence. Violence does not have to breed violence forever and ever. If we let it do that through our own wrong decisions, yes. But if we make decisions for Christ and for God's will on this earth as it is in heaven, if we make decisions for the kingdom of God, then we'll be a people of peace. Because peace has been won for us already through the reconciliation that was won for us when Jesus died on the cross for our sake. God was in Christ, we're told by Paul, reconciling us to himself. And when we are reconciled back to God, we will be reconciled with one another. And we'll find a new way to relate with one another, a new way to honour one another, a new way to build one another up, a new way to forgive one another when hurt occurs in our lives, as it surely will. So this peace that can so often elude us is available to us. And we need to open our hearts to Jesus so that we can become peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, they are the sons and daughters of God. Yes, let's be true sons and daughters of God, bearers of the peace of Christ, through the way that we have received him into our own lives and the way that we bring his peace to others. Now, violence can be manifest in many ways, can't it? Now, just your neighbour, maybe have a dog you don't like and you get so angry with him, you sort of tear his fence down or something. There's all sorts of ways in which we can retaliate people, huh? And we have these little petty feuds that go on in life. Families, too. Now, just about every family I know is dysfunctional in one way or another because of the things that have gone on, where hurts have happened and wounds have deepened, and people, this one doesn't speak to that one, and that one might speak to that one next year, but not this year, or whatever. There's all these sort of things go on, huh? And at Christmas time especially, it seems to come to the surface because we have to come together, don't we, in the loyalty of family. And if there's some sort of problem there, well, we're aware of it hanging around. But we do not have to fall into this, oh, it must be that way. It doesn't have to be that way because of what Christ has done for us. He's found a peace. He's brought a peace to us. He is the peace that can help us to overcome all envy and bitterness and hatred and the things that divide us and the jealousies that are there. Some of you will remember, I'm sure most of you will actually, the Port Arthur massacre and the terrible atrocity it was when 35 people were killed just in one madman's shooting spree, 23 others wounded. You remember that. But you remember what happened in this country, that the government moved quickly and brought in firearm laws and required people who had strong firearms to actually bring them and submit them, and there was an amnesty for a period of time before you actually were illegal with your firearms. And many people came, stockpiles of these firearms were given in. And I was thinking about that today and thinking, that's what we need to do here right now. We need to do it with the Lord himself. We need to come to the stable in Bethlehem and lay down our arms. Well, now I know you don't have firearms, or some of you might, but I'm sure you're very legal. But I'm talking about the firearms in your heart. I'm talking about the bitterness you've got in your heart towards that person over there, you know. I'm talking about that relative you don't talk to. I'm talking about that person that you hate because they took you down one time and left you abandoned. There's a thousand different ways in which we carry that lethal weapon inside of ourselves that we need to lay down before the Saviour. That's why he came, to give us that opportunity to be set free, not to be burdened heavily by this enmity we might have within ourselves and resentment and bitterness towards somebody or to some institution. And if we allow that to stay there, then we're perpetuating the cycle of violence in the world that Jesus has broken through his power of love on the cross, where he overcome hatred, he overcome bitterness and anger and revenge. He overcome those things. But we need to take hold of it in our life with our yes. We need to give over all that stuff that's causing us to perpetuate violence, because each of us has a capacity for violence in our hearts. Unfortunately, that's true. I was one time meditating upon the crucifix, you know, and I was trying to get into how Jesus was feeling when he was being banged on the cross with those nails, you see, and the nails, I could almost hear the nails going in. And I was trying to think what he was feeling like, and I got so much into it, I thought, I'm the Son of God. I'm going to slam those soldiers, bang! And I was going to smite them because I've got the power of God. And I thought, no, that's not Jesus, that's me. That's what I'm like. That's how I meet violence, with more violence. But you see, Jesus met it with forgiveness. And that broke the power of this perpetuation of violence in the human race. If we're willing to accept what he's won for us. Every Mass we celebrate this reality. And can we come into it and take hold of it in our own personal lives and lay down those things that divide us from others? Now, there's a dividing wall at the moment between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Some of you would have been there, right? And so there's some people in Bethlehem today, you know, the very place where Jesus was born, who'd love to be able to spend Christmas with their relatives in Jerusalem, but they won't get past that wall. That's the sort of stuff we do to one another. It's okay to point our finger at the state of Israel or whoever's responsible for that wall, but like, when you point your finger at somebody else, remember there's three pointing back at you. Huh? Look at your own heart and see, where have I built walls rather than bridges in relationships with people? Jesus really came to break down the dividing wall, it says in Ephesians 2. Now he broke down, by his peace, which he won for us on the cross, he broke down the dividing wall between the Jews and the Gentiles, he said. That's what Paul tells us. That's one example of a dividing wall in that particular time. But where are the dividing walls now? Let them all be broken down. Let's make bridges, not walls. Let Jesus, who is the true peace, bring the peace that he so much desires to bring into each one of our lives if we allow that to happen. And so tonight, let the peace of Christ reign in your heart. Let this Christmas, the peace of Christ reign in your family through forgiveness and reconciliation. Let the peace of Christ be in the hearts of each of us. Why do we need to be tortured interiorly? Why do we need to torture one another? Now, it's terrible to see the CIA was torturing people. It's terrible to see the torture that goes on in so many countries in the world today where human beings are not respected and dignified. But it's terrible to think of the way I can torture people too, inside myself, and also in the way I speak to them and the way I relate to them. Now, we're not meant to be torturing ourselves either. And that's the worst one, you know, where you can't forgive yourself. You can be like a tortured sort of person. But today, come to the stable of Bethlehem. Come to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Lay down all of those burdens that are so heavy to bear. And receive his peace into your heart. He promised that. Before he returned to the Father, he said, "Peace I leave you. My own peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." I'm not speaking, he said, about the peace that the world offers, because that's not sufficient. But what I'm speaking about, he says, is the surpassing peace of the heart of the Father God that Jesus, the Son of God, has known from all eternity, the peace of the Trinity, where there's total love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loving one another forever. That peace. He wants you to experience that peace. Interiorly in your heart, by his presence within you, but within your family too, within your communities, within the parish, within the society at large, within the country, within the world. Peace that surpasses all understanding, that comes from the very heart of God. So praise be to God for Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Redeemer, our Prince of Peace. Praise be to him, born in the stable of Bethlehem, coming to win our hearts by his love and his humility. Praise be to him who hung on the cross for our sake and shed the last drop of his blood for our sake, so that this peace would be able to come to the world. And so let's not let Christmas pass us by. Let's this night open our hearts, welcome Jesus, and to bring his lasting peace deeply within us, so that we at last know the harmony with God, harmony with one another, harmony within my own interior heart. Shalom, peace. That was how Jesus met his apostles when he rose from the dead. The first words he said to them were, "Peace be with you." Shalom, peace. And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. He'd been to the worst darkness of humanity, the worst hatred and bitterness and contempt and rejection. He experienced all that on the cross. But now, risen, he breathes peace. And he wants to liberate you from any of that darkness. the tender heart, the loving heart of our God. He visits us like dawn from on high. He will take you out of the darkness into his wonderful light, and he'll guide your footsteps into the way of peace. And bless his name.